God, we worship you, Lord. We worship you, Father. And we please kneel before the Lord this morning. Just say, Father, I worship you, Lord. I love you. God of my heart, I adore you, Jesus. You are my King and you are my Lord. I worship you, Jesus. Oh, come on, worship the Lord this morning. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me here today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy upon my life. I give you praise. Lord, you have been good to me. You have been good to me and you have been good to my family. Thank you for your mercies. New every morning. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Can we please say, Father, I kneel to worship you. I kneel in honor of your word. I receive and submit myself to the light of your word. I am changed by your word into the same image as Christ. And Christ is seen, felt, and received through my life. Now, I bring down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And I bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I yield myself to your word, paying complete attention. I receive grace and wisdom that changes my life. Your words are spirit and life to me, healing my body and restoring my soul. I receive every blessing you have prepared for me today. Your peace and joy are multiplied in my life. My life is a testament to your glory. God's people said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's good for us to be here. Come on. It's good for us to be here. Welcome somebody by your side. It is good for us to be here. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Last week, we began to talk about the things that have been freely given to us. The things that have been freely given to us. So we move quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Let's just jump into this. I'm hoping that today I will talk to you some more about knowing the things that have been freely given to us. Hallelujah. Again, I want to especially, it's just beautiful to have our dear Pastor Ehis at hand with us. It's beautiful to have him with us today. These few weeks, we'll enjoy his presence and his help, helping us that sound and all that. When I come around, I see him helping here and that. All right. It's good for us to be, it's good for him to be here. Can you please give him a big hand? And I also want to appreciate all those who have joined us online already just now. And more, I know more people will join us. We know you're there. It's beautiful. When you join online, it's beautiful to know that you are there, because we set up this service and we expect the Spirit of God right now here with us to also touch you where you are and to help and to transform your life and to bring healing and restoration to your soul. And so it's beautiful for us to know that you are there with us. So can you please just give them a hand again? Come on. All right. Love you so much. And then finally, you're worshiping with us for the first time. You say service have not ended. We don't need to wait for service to end. We love you. We see you, we love you. I don't know why it's the last thing of the service, but I love to do this often to say we see you and we love you. And we trust that you just open up your heart and receive the word of God from this meeting. Just receive the word of God. Just relax. You know, there's not so much. We're going to be diving into the word, looking at the word, chapter, verse, turning, and it's going to be displayed so you can look at it and you can take note of these things and begin to, you know, you read them, you go back again to look at them. But open up your heart right now, and the Holy Spirit is in this place right now to open your eyes to see and even to heal your bodies. I believe in healings, and I believe for restoration of the soul. So if maybe in the body, something just disturbing, you're not comfortable, just relax. The Holy Spirit is in this place, and He will help you. Amen? Amen. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 9. But as it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Next verse. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Next verse.
For what man knoweth the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And so this is where we just began to talk about. I said there's so much to unpack from this verse, but I'm not talking about you see the spirit and you see spirit of the world, spirit which is of God. But now that we can come to that some other time. But what we want to look at is how the Bible says that we might know the things that have been freely given to us of God. I mean, there are things that have been freely given to us of God. I mean, that should make a believer boy. I mean, there are things that God has given to me freely, not by what I do or something that I am going to do, but that He has given them to me. It is not by somehow wishy-washy, you know, I feel good, and then I say, okay, I'll just give you 2,000 because you behave well or something. It is not somebody good that has given it to us, but it is God. There are things that have been freely given to us by God. There are things that we should have in our lives that have been freely given to us by our Father God. The Almighty God gave me some things. I mean, that should just open your heart and you're like, and you should think about it. God, there are things. Come on, say the things. Freely given to us by God. I think if you say it, maybe it will dawn on you. Things that God has given to me, God is not just a good guy. Almighty God has given me some things. And the thing that should, I mean, I don't know how that just gets to you, but when you look at it, you're like, the next thing you wonder, what things? What things? Because I told you, if you don't know the things that have been given to you, they can be stolen. And if you don't know the things that have been given to you, you will not be able to enjoy them. Somebody can take them, somebody's enjoying them, and it's supposed to be yours, but you don't know. And they, I mean, beautiful, you can just begin to jump in the breath when he says, freely given to us by God. From his heart, from love, he gave them to us. And now, for us, we should the core of the Christian and what we should be in pursuit of should be knowing these things. I want to know them. If I can know them, then I can begin to enjoy them. If I can know them, then I can begin to receive them. And so, before we begin to talk about receiving these things and we begin to talk about faith, we need to know the things. If you don't know the things, what are you going to be faithing for? Come on. Listen to me. Somebody said this sometime and it's very beautiful. And you know, it says faith only appropriates what grace has provided. See, if you don't know what grace has provided, you cannot be faithful. Because the devil will always have something to cut your faith to say, you know, you're not doing something. But grace has provided some things and then faith can now appropriate it. So if we don't know those things, then we will not be able to enjoy the things that God has designed for us to enjoy in our lives, to see in our lives. And so the devil can come to us and then manhandle. I mean, I love the gentleman of God says about somebody says he can come eat your lunch and pop the bag in front of you, and then you know, something like that. It's like when you have these snacks and then you're taking it and somebody comes, picks it from you, takes everything, and then boom, and then walks away. And then you'll just say, you can even say, thank you, sir. Is this yours? Is this yours? Is this supposed to be yours? You're like, hello, give it to me. And you're and then does all that and walks away. And then we lose. And then when we want to fight, when we want to faith, because we don't really know it's ours, we cannot really faith. The real place where faith begins is knowing. That's the place. We need to know the things that have been freely given to us. I told you last week, it's not an issue of provision. These things have been provided. The issue is knowing. It's not provision. It's not provision. It is that they've been provided for us. The things have been freely given to us. We looked at a lot of verses and we said ignorance was a big problem. So in Romans chapter number 10, will you just flip? I just want to do some quick recap and then we'll bring us all to the same place. So that we can bring to the same place and we can look at what we want to talk about today. In Romans chapter number 10, the Bible talks about ignorance. In verse number 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. You see now, next verse. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Next verse. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are seeking to establish their own righteousness. They have not submitted to the righteousness of God. So the issue is that they were ignorant of God's righteousness, what God has done. God has provided righteousness. But they were trying to establish their own righteousness. God has provided healing. But we're trying to establish our own healing. God has provided for us abundance. But we're trying to walk without knowing that He has provided for us surplus for us to enjoy. Enough for us to enjoy. Come on. Are you here? We need to know. The quest for the believer is to know. It is not provision. It is not if God will do it, when He will do it. It is what He has done for us. And that we and our quest should now be to open up our hearts, to begin to know the things that have been given to us. Least we are destroyed. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Let us not know these verses and just have them. Because when I say that, I don't need to even move the verse. We don't need to move there. But you know it. We've known this thing for long. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But when we begin to talk about knowledge and pursuing knowledge, believers just seem like it's one thing by the wayside. Let's move on. No. You want to read the Bible. You want to know the things that are yours. You want to say, what do I have? What is mine to enjoy so that I can enjoy it? Because if I don't know it, then I can lose it. Are you here? And so I'm buying books. When we talk about the services and we're talking about, I know this meeting is not, it just want to exalt you, to correct you, to show you. I'm not really doing so. I'm not going to talk about those things. Not about healing, health, provision, protection, blah, blah, blah. Those things, you don't begin to delve into them. You begin to look for them as you need them. Remember last week I told you, imagine our Father God, the owner of the whole universe. Right? Imagine your father owns properties here and there and all that, and you get to be posted from Benin, probably posted to Abuja, and you get to Abuja, and then you find that you're staying somewhere, and you say, oh, I need to find, maybe my father owns a property in Abuja, come on. And then you go to the wheel and you say, oh, there are properties there. So the first thing is to know. Now, once you know now, you cannot say, oh, where is the place? You now go to the place, you now find out that there are people there. You now say, no, it's mine, I want to take possession of it. That's not what we're talking about. Faith. But the first thing is to know that you have a place in Abuja, or else you will know. So wherever you are in your life, whatever condition that you are facing, the first thing is to go to the scriptures and find out what the Bible says concerning that matter. What has your father said concerning that matter? I need some money. I need something in my life. Okay, fine. This is what I need. I need this or I need that. Then you go to the scriptures. Then you begin to find. You want to say, what has my father provided concerning this matter? What has he said concerning this matter? Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Then you go to the bookshop. I'm pushing. I just want to show you what it's about. You go to the bookshop and then you buy a book. You buy a book. You buy a book on that subject, on that matter. Okay, what is it about this financial prosperity? I want to know. I want to grow financially. What has God given to me? When it comes to that regard, how does He want me to go about it? That's why we are buying books. That's why we are reading books. That's why we are taking the message. That's why we are downloading messages. It's not for fun. It's not we might know. And so the difference between one person and another person is just what he knows. Just what he knows. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because they don't know. They won't enjoy it. So ignorance is a problem. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, they are seeking to establish their own righteesness. So it's just a matter of, it's not a matter of what God has not done for them. It's a matter of the fact that they are trying to establish their own righteousness. They don't know what God has freely given to them. So, I'm saying this because we are all at different points in our lives. We're all at different points and we all need different things in our lives. You know, I always tell my pastors, I remember when we were on campus, we said this whole thing on campus, and everybody, we're just talking about campus stuff, how to pass exams and all that kind of stuff. Now, I have babies coming up. I'm praying for this. I have babies. We have training children. We have husband, wife. We have all manner of things. So we're all at different phases in our lives. Now we have somebody who wants to buy a car, learn how to drive the car. No, when we're on campus, we're not trying to pass exams. So we are at different phases. And so you could be here, it could be money, it could be health, it could be something, it could be job, it could be this. Whatever it is, you want to know and you don't want to be ignorant. You don't want to be ignorant. And so the believer should be interested in knowledge. We're reading Bible, we're not reading Bible so that God can be happy with us. We're reading Bible because we want to know. We are coming to church. They are inviting people to church. We invite people to church. We try to say, come around. Because you need to know. You know, somebody says, know thyself. I mean, for crying out loud, what do you want to know about yourself? You already know everything about yourself. I want to know the things that God has given to me. I really need to know those things so that I can get out of this condition. I can get out of this situation. Amen. The things that have been freely given to us by God. I mean, that pops it for me. That is huge. Huge. He has given us the Holy Spirit, not just to speak in tongues. So that I can know the things that have been freely given to me. That's one of the work of the Holy Spirit, to help us know, to open our eyes, to get a revelation. To get a revelation. Are you here? I want to say something to you because I want to move fast. I want to finish up this stuff today, this knowing thing. And I'm hoping that my prayer for you is that you don't take it like, this is not a message to give the things, but to let you know that you have to go and know. You have to try to know. You have to be in pursuit of knowing. I mean, when I was training my pastor, I was still training them when I was training some of them, maybe pastor, he said they was gone someplace in his life. I was saying, as you come to my library, you see my library full of books. I read a lot. I read books. I'm going to know. I mean, I'm reading stuff because, you say, so how are you here? I'm not here because one turned down anointing some people. I'm reading books. I'm foreign books. Ken Hagin, I just read some books today and I picked up some books. I just picked some more books I bought. I picked some I'm taking again to work, Pastor Ketch. Faith like your fathers. You have to have the faith of God, not the faith of Abraham. No, you say Abraham had faith and want to be like Abraham. He said, no, the kind of faith that God has. He wants to show me how God has faith. God has faith. Say God has faith. And I'm like, boy, I need to read that book. So I'm thinking to the office, and any spare time I have, I'm reading that book. And boy, it's changing me. You know, that's how. That's how. So when you buy a book, I mean, you're delving into the things that have been freely given to you. When you come to church, I mean, you hear this topic. Now I'm teaching you something about knowing. But sometimes I'll be teaching about a particular revelation, a particular truth here. You will get light and understanding. Light and understanding. Once there's light, you can function. Once there's light, put on the light. Say, put on the light. Once there's light, then you can function. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Come on, are you here? You can function. You can move. You can take things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And the devil wants to keep people in darkness. He wants to keep people in darkness so they don't know. Because once they don't know, then alas, it's that's not that a fight. Just like some people don't know that the devil is defeated. Some people are afraid of him. So if they don't know that the devil has been defeated, then he can come and be defeating them. And they will say, please, oh God, no face. Somebody says, the devil is just disturbing me and troubling me, and came to Andrew Umar and I said, let's pray. And then I said, let's pray. And he said, you pray first. And he says, all right. I said, dear Mr. Devil. He says, really? The real person did that. He said, I could not have done that. But somebody did that. Dear Mr. Devil, you are tracing him as if there's, dear Mr. Devil, please. He said, please wait, stop. You have to say stop. Really, it really happened. So, resist the devil in faith. He said, dear Mr. Devil. Mr. Devil, we consciously do not write capital letter for his name. So at least it has to be consciously. If the typo put it, I will typo remove it. Even in the way he belongs. That's what that, we should know that. We should know that. But if you don't know that, then you say, Pastor, do we look at that? No. He made a public show. Can we look at that? Let's just look at that. Let me just show you that. Colossians chapter number 2. I want to do that, but I want to do something else. Colossians chapter number 2 and verse number 15. I have so much to do today. So much. I think it's in verse number 14 or 15. Okay, verse number 10. Can we start from here? Is this good enough? Okay, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. We are complete in him. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Next verse. Buried with him in baptism, where also ye are risen with him, through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. Next verse. And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, had he quickened together with him, having forgiven you how many trespasses? Next verse. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it where? To his cross. Next verse. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. It's in your Bible. But you need to know. You need to know. You see, you know. He spoiled principalities. If it's spoiled, means, you know where something is spoiled? Your phone not spoiled before. Somebody said that's a bad memory. Sorry. But I mean, spoiled. You can use it. His spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly. And so, he's not the one we should be afraid of. He says, my little children, do not be afraid. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You don't have anything to be afraid of. He says, you have overcome this world. You see, by your faith. So, when we know these things, it makes us act differently. Come on. The things we know as affections. Now let me tell you something. And the Lord said this to me this morning. Prayer and meditating upon this for this meeting. This morning, I was praying for this meeting. And the Lord said to me, he said, this is, you need to understand this. And you understand how we got saved. I mean, this is not something, this is just something the Lord just spoke to me about this morning. And he said, you know how you got saved? He said, you need to go back to, I want to do this before I say what I want to say. The things that we may know, the things that have been freely given to us by God. And I've been saying through the course of this teaching last week that it's not a matter of provision, it's a matter of knowing. Alright. Now, I think a good example, before I say what I want to say, a good example would be like somebody made food for you, and then you come home, you don't know the food is in the cooler. Come on. And you start to prepare something. They go, oh, yeah, I'm trying to call you. I already made food, it's in the cooler. Come on. That's what I'm talking about, provision. And when you know, imagine you decide to maybe boil rice or something, and then you receive a call. Hello, I mean, oh, everything changes. It's not about, they didn't just cook the food now, but your whole life changes because of your knowledge. Now, when people get saved, knowledge. I'm just trying to say knowledge. I'm trying to say believers just need to know. They need to read books. You need to read the Bible. So if I'm talking about reading the Bible as a good thing, yes. But when you are reading, you know what's happening? You are getting to know. And the Lord spoke to me, said, I've made provision for the salvation of everybody. When did you get saved? Again, when did you get saved? You got saved. Provision for your salvation, complete salvation, total deliverance, was made the day Jesus Christ died. But when did you enter into it? Come on. The day somebody came to tell you, Jesus died for you, took away your sins. Sin should not have power over you. You can be a child of God. You are a child of God already. If you open up your heart and just say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. So you're like, whoo! The moment you knew, you entered into salvation. It was not that day that Jesus died. Come on. Provision was already made for you. Already. It was your knowing that changed everything. You moved from one country of darkness to another place of light by your knowledge. Are you here? Okay, let me do this in 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Maybe it will help us quickly. I'm just moving. I want to do this to help you. But that's powerful. When you are preaching to somebody and then this person just says, Lord Jesus, come into my life, and you say he just got saved. He just entered into the provision that God has already made. The provision was made when Jesus Christ died. And that is the same thing for all of us. Look at it. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, will you go to the previous verse? Let's see, maybe he just gets, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Next verse. God our Savior, who will have all men to be what? And to come to the knowledge of the truth. So sometimes we just talk about, we don't miss it. Is it the knowledge of the truth? Because they are saved now, they need to come to know truth. All you need in your life, I told you also, I said this last week, what you need in your life is not more power. More truths. The more truths you know, the more power you have. The more truths you know, the light is on in your house and then you can function. It's not more power. Sometimes we think we need more power, but the devil is already a defeated foe. What you really need to know is how he was defeated and how you can enjoy the things that God has freely given to you. The things that have been freely given to us by God. Come on. The Holy Spirit was given to us so that we can know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Now, he will want all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth, that God will grant unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Paul prays in Ephesians. He prays for them that they will receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. The eyes of the understanding being enlightened. I think we should look at that in Ephesians chapter number 1. Just say, this is Paul's prayer. So when we are praying, he says, wherefore also, after I heard of your faith, are you here? Please, you can look at it, it's beautiful. Wherefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, so these people have come to faith in the Lord Jesus. Are you here? And love unto all the saints. So we're not talking about unbelievers, we're talking about believers. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Next verse. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Next verse. It says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. The thing about a Christian now is that he should get to know. Should get to know. What are my rights? What are the rights? What do I have? What is mine? That's why the Bible says, give us the Spirit, that we may know the things that have been freely given to us. So now that we know that we should be knowing, what should we be doing? We should be actually trying to know. You know what I'm saying? So this thing about, I don't get time. I don't know. If you don't get time for the word of God, it means the devil is cheating you. He doesn't want you to know. If you don't have time for the things of God to be around and hear truths for your life, that is number one way of taking something from you. Lack of knowledge. Come on. Lack of knowledge. That is number one way. Once you don't know, he can take it. And you'll be suffering on. Imagine somebody that owns everything in the house. They told the person, they say you are the servant of this house. They are the servant of this. Grew up saying, I'm the servant of the house. And then one day he stops and cleans up the house and opens the document. He sees his name there. Maybe his passport. You know, now your certificate, they say, put your passport there. That's me. That's me. And you are, that's where everything changes. That's where everything changes. Provision has already been made for us. We just need to know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And I'm saying this so that we can begin to pursue it. Salvation was, there's salvation for everybody. Who want all men to be saved? Everybody's already saved. Jesus' death covered everybody. There's nobody. Nobody is doing all the bad things. The death of Jesus Christ covered him too. The day he just stops and says, oh, I know. Now, really? And gets to that knowledge, that point, bam, he can begin to enjoy the things that God has done. Are you here? That should be your pursuit. You know, sometimes we pastors, we do some things and maybe you don't know why. We're trying to get you. We even service, Sunday service. Don't know why. It's not because somebody wants to talk. It's because you need to get to know some things. This is the school for your spirit. This is what feeds your spirit, your knowledge in that direction. You won't get it from president, though. President is also provide economic relief. Bag of rice, bag of beans, bag of that, subsidy, blah, blah, blah. You won't get that. If you go to school, you finish your BSc degree. They won't discuss the things that are freely given to you by God. Not concerned. But when you come to church, my job is to discuss the things that God has done. That's the place of church. It's very important too. We'll talk about prayer. We can do a lot of things. But I'm going to say a believer should be in the quest not for more power, more for grace. Lord, give me more grace. He's really not more of anything. Everything has been done already. He didn't try to save you more. Okay. Can I do this? When you now say, Lord Jesus, no, when you're crying, some people get saved crying. Jesus Christ. And then the one that just said, oh, Jesus, I receive you, no tears. Did he save one more than the other? No, it's nothing. He has done everything. It's just when you know what you know, it determines how you react and how you take it. Simple. He didn't do much more work. So it's not more grace, but if I can get, no, you don't really need that. When you say you need that and you cry to him, you know what he will do? He will direct you. Scriptures. How did the person get saved? We'll get there sometime. Maybe in October, you talk about that. But when we talk about salvation, somebody came and told him. That's what we call the good news. The principle of the good news is still the principle you require. You need to continue hearing good news. I said that one on purpose. Did you hear that? I've heard the good news of salvation. Oh, I'm saved. I don't want to hear any news again. No, you need to continue hearing all manner of good news. Come on. They still need to keep coming in. And the more you hear about the news, come on. The more you know, then the more you enjoy the provision that he has made for you. Are you here? No manner. Good news. You have been healed. Healed. Good news, the devil is under your feet. Good news, God has made financial provision for you. Good news. But imagine, you know, that somebody talked about so many years ago, I can't remember, he said, unbelieving believers. Imagine somebody heard that good news. When I now come and say you have been healed, you say it's a lie. So what do you now believe? It's good news. You need to, when you hear that, something like that,
You're like, oh, but I'm experiencing something different. But that's why I'm teaching you today, that you now need to know. Now, I want to go into something I feel will help us today. I want to look at Psalm 82. Can we look at Psalm 82? Look at Psalm 82, verse number 1. Psalm 82, verse number 1. Ignorance and how it destroys people. Asaph, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. Right? We read this last time. He says, next verse. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the presence of the wicked? Next verse. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Next verse. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. Next verse. They know not, neither will they understand. So they walk on in darkness. We read this verse. But you see, the key now is that they do not know. It's not because I have not given them the power. Imagine, he's talking about our job description. And he's saying the real problem is not that they don't have the power to do it. It's because they don't know. They don't understand. Come on. In all that I get, you get understanding. Who am I in Christ? Have you asked yourself that question? Who am I in Christ? When Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again for me, what did he accomplish for me? Those are the things that have been freely given to us by God. That's the question. That's the question I pose to you. That's the question. What has he freely, what has he given to me? What did all that thing mean to me? Not to him, but to me. How does it impact me today in my life? I did a service some time ago, Alpha, Omega, and in between. Because we talk about God and all that benefit. Jesus died, Jesus rose again, he's seated in heaven. Right. Me now, how does it affect me? How does it change my life today? That's the question. That is the quest of a believer. So it becomes your pursuit is to know. Not to try to have, not to try to do. Don't try to do anything. Everything he has already done for you. Things that have been freely given to us by God. I want to do things. I don't mind doing things. But let me first of all exhaust all the things that he has freely given to me. Come on. I don't mind working for money. People that like to work, I'm saying this for you. Because no, let me tell you, you must do something. I agree. We will do together. We will do things. But the 10 million they gave me, let me finish spending it first. Let me first of all withdraw it from all the accounts first and be enjoying it first. Then I will start to work. At least I will not work. Come on. But the things that have been freely given to us by God, can we really exhaust them? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We've not even finished exhausting that one. We are thinking of our own what we should do. I mean, there's a prayer for us to do. I really don't know. We should, but you know what our doing should be? You know what a believer should be doing? You know what I'm telling you now? It should be, his real work is to know. This is the work he has given to you. The Bible says in John 17, please go there. I think in verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I don't know. It was early in John 17. It says, and this is life eternal. Huh? That they will know you. I try and find it and put it up. It would be nice for them to see. John 17, verse number 1, 2, 3, maybe 4, 5. And it says, and this is life eternal. Eh? Eternal life. This is it. That they would know you. Say they know none other than they understand. What our work is our work, your real labor and your real push is to know. Is to know. Spend time. Okay, verse number 3, right? Oh, that's beautiful. And this is life eternal. Can you go? Let's just start from verse number 1. Let's just see if you can. So that you don't think I'm. It's just. This word spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Next verse. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given unto him. Then what is eternal life? And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is life eternal. That you will know. That they will know you. So when Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, I also did this last week. It's the same thing. So he says, I want to know Jesus. I don't want to know that. I don't need to know Jesus. I need to know many things. Jesus is everything to us. Say, eternal life is to know God and Jesus Christ. This is life eternal. So when we're talking about these things, when we're talking about knowing God, when we're talking about pursuing God, we're talking about loving him, it's loving yourself. Because everything he is consists, is what you are consist of everything that is, oh God, I've twisted the whole thing up and down. So what loving, how does that go? loving him, knowing him. In him is everything that you are. Everything that you are. So if you love him, it's because you love yourself. I'm pursuing him because I want to have a great life. Let me just tell you the truth. No, it's not for what he concerns. You think he needs me? If so, my pursuit of him will not make him go. And I say, no, maybe if there's a girl, you like the girl. You know, you are saying, I like you, send him a message. You're not feeling more important. But for God, that's not the case. So my loving him and pursuing, getting to know him, it's for me, yo. He's not looking at me. I say, get to know me. Come on, get to know me. Get to know me. Look, don't try to know yourself. What do you want to know about yourself? There's nothing good in you. There's no good. Come on. You don't know yourself, babe. No, I should tell you about yourself. Should I start? That's a bad news. If somebody is telling you about yourself, it's giving you bad news. Because you already know yourself. That is to say, in your flesh, there's no good thing. Romans chapter number 7 and maybe verse number 18 or thereabout. Try and get there. No, let me show you. I'll show you. Maybe Romans chapter number 7, sometimes I couldn't read, but verse number maybe 18, thereabout, if you can get it. Let me show you. There's nothing good. You sometimes you're looking at it. Why you say know thyself? Why do I want to know myself? I want to know Jesus Christ. When I know Jesus Christ, I'm doing a lot. Okay, right? For I know that in me, that is what is what? Dwelleth what? Oh man, know thyself. I know myself already. I need to know him. When I know him, I can be transformed into that image. I will transform into that image. There are this bad me, this no empty, broke, unhealed me, can be transformed into the healed him, the wealthy him, everything about him. I don't know. That's what I want to know. I'm in pursuit of knowledge. Are you here? Alright, there's so much I want to do. I'm trying to go here, there. But let's go to, I want to show you in 1 John chapter number 5. I just want to touch all my scriptures. Because this is not the kind of message. This is the kind of message that tells you, wake up. Get to know. Pursue knowledge. Okay. Are you here, right? Okay, you can't hold, maybe I'll have two screens. I say, hold it there, read the other one, split the other one, have two screens. Because right now I want to show you Proverbs chapter number 11. Leave this. Go to Proverbs chapter 11. You see there. You know the verse, but I just want you to see. Sometimes when we see it, it's powerful. It says, true knowledge shall the just be delivered. Knowledge, knowing, is powerful. So don't play with it. It's not a man. Proverbs chapter number 11, I think verse number 9. You get that in Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 9. I thought I was going to show you Daniel, but maybe we'll get there. Maybe we'll get there. Hold your place here. Can you get there? Okay. An hypocrite with his mouth, destroyed his neighbor, right? But true knowledge shall the just be delivered. Come on, true knowledge. So how is the just delivered? And my people are destroyed for what? For lack of knowledge. No matter where you are in your life, there is a light that you need. That light is in the scriptures. That light, somebody has written a book about it. I know I'm talking about books. But yes, I'm talking about books. Buy a book, read books. Really, you should be investing in that direction. All those books. I mean, my library is rich. I mean, I was telling my wife just, I want to create make another shelf for my books. I have books. They're now literally floor. I'm heaping them around. I'm buying books. I'm reading books. Because it is this knowledge that has changed my life. It's not as if I'm not supernatural or something. I just know some things. There are scriptures. No, sometimes you're looking at scriptures like, I never seen scripture before. Guy, we don't make that scripture already. So, but you don't know it. That's the problem. So if you don't know it, I mean, it's like a man walking in darkness. When the scripture comes, what comes? Light comes. And when light comes, bam, you are delivered. Finish. That matter ends. That situation, over. I always tell people, anger lies in the bosom of fools. I just said that one to say that one day you read the Bible, you see it inside there. Inside there. And the Holy Spirit will let you know that you can't be like this anymore. Then, bam! Anger just finished. Say, I'm trying, Pastor, I'm trying to. You don't try to work on it. When light shines, darkness will go. That's right. See, Pastor, there's this lust. I'm fighting lust. When light shines, lust will die. By the power of the Holy Spirit. You just need to know. Just need to know. Why? Why can I not live like this? I can't live like this. It says, it's a fool with an adulteress. It says, fool, adulteress. They lead him to death. Say, no, that's not my life. Oh, I'm free. You'll be free by the power of the Holy Spirit. Once you know. The idea is to know. True knowledge shall the just be delivered. Can we go to our place just now? I just want to show you this. I mean, knowledge. So come on, say, I need to know. Come on, say, I need to know. Thank you, Lord. Come on, somebody blessed today.
Yes, sir.
Are you sure?
Yes, sir.
Is it helping you?
Yes, sir.
Now I'm not actually feeding you. Now I'm giving you the tools, the knowledge to know. To go and start feeding yourself. Feed yourself. Get books. Messages. I mean, we have a lot of messages. Sometimes, when we're fasting, we're playing some of our, when we're fasting, we put up those messages to help you. And then maybe I'm at home and she's playing down like, boy, what a powerful message. I just wish people could listen to this thing. Don't listen to messages. Those messages we put up when we're fasting to help you. Put it up on the channel. I put it up there. Listen to them. Powerful stuff. How is it down like, No, wait. I can't even leave the kitchen. She was praying. I can't even leave. I want to finish hearing that song. Powerful stuff. I mean, you're listening to messages. They are free. We give them out for free. Just pick your phone. Yeah, I mean, how many selfies? You already know your picture. You know yourself. No. Woman, know thyself. You don't already see your face already before. You don't take 20. You say, what for your phone? Selfies. You already know yourself. But when you know Jesus Christ, it will change you. Come on. So instead of praying for more power, praying for more knowledge. Come on. You know that's why people begin to say knowledge is power. Once you know, you have gone halfway. That's me. Maybe next week we need to talk about receiving the things that have been freely given to us. But we first need to know them. Because if I come and start telling you how to receive the things, I told myself, if I start telling you how to receive the things, but you don't know the things, you won't receive them. Nothing you do. Receive them. You need to know them and you need to begin to pursue to know them. In John chapter 15, verse number 13, he said, these things I have written unto you. They already believe that believe on the name of the Son of God. What? That you may what? Did you see that? I'm telling you scriptures upon knowing. I've done a good job. I'm not joking. They believe, but they need to know. These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. That ye may know that ye have eternal life. And that what will happen? That ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Is that hard? That's not hard, actually. I mean, you might not have thought about it, but that's not hard. Look at it. These things are written unto you. Okay. Let me use steps. These things are written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God. They already believe. They already at the point. I've written these things now unto you that ye may know that ye have eternal life, right? Then when they know, guess what will happen? What will happen? They will not believe. So guess what's happened? They are making progress. That's how they are going forward. They are going forward by knowledge. They have it. They know. Then guess what they know again? They believe again. They know again. You're not getting that. Are you getting that? I say, already? No, we can't finish knowing. No, this knowing matter. We go deeper and deeper. So there is depth. Can I talk to you? There is depth of revelation of divine healing. There is depth of revelation of divine provision. You know, God has provided for you. Somebody else knows more. So that's why we enjoy more. That's what we call about the depth of revelation. Are you here? So he says, I've written this thing that you will believe, to people that already believe, that they will know. It means, they know, light can shine more than light. Can you help me with this? Let me do demonstration today. I'm just so excited. Well, you see? There's light here. But I know now, guess what happens? More light. I mean, there are others you can put here. We put some here that was too bright. Some of you remember when we put light, I said remove it, so it's too bright. I mean, put it like it's so bright, cast shadow everywhere. So light. So you can keep shining light. And the more light you have, the more common, the more deeper you are in the matter, the more you enjoy. We all know our right to, but we know our right to a certain degree. Some people know their rights more than their rights. When they stop, you say, oh, sir, please, officer, this. Pass, go. You know your right. I don't say you don't know your right. Not to think we don't know our right. We know our right, but why we know our right, Rich? Sometimes I get to the point, I sit there, I have pass on that place. I cannot be talk. You just start talking. Bring the paper, bring the thing. You talk. I have everything. I'm telling you, I have everything. Yeah, trouble is too much. Come on. We all know our rights. So it's not as if we don't know our rights. But there's a level of knowledge. I say, more they go. It's going to be trouble for you. So at the end of the day, the Bible says, it's just a matter of that. But when we know to a certain degree, we enjoy to a certain degree. That's the difference. What differentiates one person from another person is that degree of knowledge. And that's what he's saying here. That I'm reading this unto you that I believe. You already believe, but I need you to know. You not say, I know. There's a way you, that knowing that takes you deeper in what you receive. Amen?
Amen.
My final thoughts. I think my final thought is powerful. I said it for last on purpose. And this final thought, I want to end here because I believe that it will paint the picture, the complete picture of what we're talking about. I was studying within a week and it just hit me that when we look at types and shadows, we look at the old covenant. Are you still here?
Yes, sir.
Okay, if you've gone home, say amen. All right, thank you. When we look at the old covenant, I want to say something. We look at type and shadows. We're looking at the things that were in the old covenant that we see in Jesus Christ, the fulfillment in Jesus Christ. And then one of the things, I think one of the biggest things is Canaan. One of the biggest things is Canaan. That promise of Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey. Are you here? Canaan. And how, we know we are the Israel of today. Right? Israel of God today. And how God promised Israel a land filled with milk and honey. He promised them Canaan. But I want to pose to you today something I really want us to think about. It's for last, but it's powerful by itself. You don't need to go, it's not that kind of long meditation. If you just think about it here and now, you see the light. In our thoughts of Canaan, and when we say God has given us Canaan, what we are thinking about is a land. It's abundance, it's provision. Are you here? This is powerful. Don't miss this. This is powerful. I'm trying to get you here so you don't miss it. It's about provision. It's about a land filled with milk and honey. But when we are thinking about the battles that the children of Israel fought. Right? We are thinking about the giants and then the battle they fought to get what God has given to them. Are we together?
Yeah.
But my thoughts, you know, today and what we should think about our meditations today is, what if Jesus is Canaan? What if in the new covenant now, Jesus is our Canaan? What if our land flowing with milk and honey is Jesus? Are you here? In the old covenant, when he promised them Canaan, in new covenant, it is Jesus. Not a physical land. No, they were fighting for a physical land space where they can go and build a house. For us now, he has made promises to us. Guess where those promises are? They are in Jesus Christ. And guess what our battles are like now? Guess what the devil is trying to do? To stop you from entering Canaan. Giants. No one sees one giant. Don't see giants anywhere. It's just lack of knowledge. Tiredness. I won't read Bible. I don't have time. Those are the giants you and I need to defeat. Once we defeat that giant, we can enter into our Canaan. We can enter into Jesus Christ. Everything that God has provided for us is inside Canaan. Come on. Everything that God has provided for us is inside Canaan. The milk and honey, everything is there. The glorious life is there. And this is life eternal. Huh? That you know it. Can you move two verses up quickly? It will help me. It will help me. Two verses up. Up. Okay. And this is the record. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And this is the record, that God had given unto us what? Eternal life. And where is this eternal life? So if there are, thank you. No, that's beautiful. So if there are giants, what will those giants be doing right now? They'll be stopping you from knowing his son. Because eternal life is in his son. So Jesus is now like our Canaan. Everything that he has given to us is inside Jesus Christ. And so, the giants that we face today is not like 25 feet deep people. It's the giants of ignorance, of lack of discipline to read the Bible, lack of discipline, lack of interest to buy books and to read and to know. And so the devil now is not going to stand in front of you with cutlass and armor and say, I'm protecting you from entering one land. He stopped, didn't bother doing all that kind of thing. He didn't bother saying, your prosperity is in that house. You must break into the house and occupy the house. I mean, that's that time. But now our prosperity is in Jesus Christ. Then we must fight to enter. But now the fight is a fight of knowledge. To know. And he will be hindering us. He will want to hinder us from knowing these things that have been freely given to us. So that's our real battle. So am I fighting giants now?
Yes,
are you fighting giants now?
Yes,
today?
Yes.
You are fighting giants?
Yes.
What are giants like? Come on. You know your own giants. Our giants are different.
Yes,
thank you, Jesus.
Together.
Thank you, Lord. You need to enjoy Jesus. The only way you enjoy Jesus is to go into Jesus. Is to go. And this is the record that God had given unto us, eternal life. And this eternal life is in his Son. That's our Canaan. Jesus is our Canaan. My Canaan is Jesus. Jesus is my Sabbath rest. Once you can see it, thank you, Holy Spirit. Can we do some work? Once you can see it, you can know it. Move with me to John. John chapter number 3. Book of John. Quickly, I want to show you this one. Once you can see it, you can now enter into it. That's why knowledge is powerful. In John chapter number 3. In John chapter number 3. You see there. Alright. In John chapter number 3. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Next verse. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Next verse. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot what? See the kingdom of God. Right? Then, next verse. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Next verse now. And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot what? Enter into the kingdom of God. You know, this verse is very instructional. These two verses. He said, first of all, Jesus said the same thing. He switched two things. Except a man be born again, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit. And the second thing is more important to us in this study. He says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Then the next verse, when he says it again, he says, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Oh, you didn't get that? Sorry. Well, that was not too far. Okay, go two verses. Go two verses back. Can we all read this? Everybody, want to go? So he said he cannot see the kingdom of God, right? Two verses. Jesus answered and said again, very, very, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so we know that seeing the kingdom of God is entering into it. That's what it is. That's the same thing. So when you see it, you can enter into it. You can enter into your Canaan. Jesus. So that's why it's knowledge. You see, this is about knowledge. Once I can see it, I can see the provision of God, then I cannot begin to enjoy it in my life. I've entered into Canaan. Once you can see it, you enter into Canaan. Did you get that's powerful? Jesus is our Canaan. And our fight today is a fight to see the things that he has given to us. To see them, we have to know them. That's knowing them. To see. You know, when you see something, that's like knowing it. That's our fight. So what's your fight like? Sometimes we are fighting for money. We are praying to God. We are praying for God to give us money. We are praying to God to give us job. We are praying for God to give us healing. And it's like, I made all the provision already. Freely giving to us all these things. Guess what we need to do? We need to see them. We need to know them. Once we know them, we can enter into them. And the devil, where he is right now, what the devil is doing right now, is trying to stop us from knowing them. Devil, that means he will allow you to do, you know what I mean? He will allow you to do many things. Many things. When he gets to knowing, he will not allow you. He will not give you the. You just don't suddenly not have time. That's a thief. Suddenly, you don't have time to know the things that have been freely given to you by God. Suddenly. And so he puts obstacles in our way that we do not know. So my contemplation today, our meditation today, should settle in our hearts. Come on. This thing about knowing Jesus. Come on. So when maybe you are in church, this church, maybe a pastor, you hear somebody says, you need to know Jesus. Somebody says, I want to know Jesus more. You don't say, you want to be knowing Jesus. No, knowing Jesus, come on, I've said, come on, is knowing yourself. Knowing Jesus is knowing the things that have been freely given to you by God. Because Jesus is your Canaan. Jesus is your Canaan. Jesus is your Canaan. And you have to labor to enter into his rest. The Bible says in Hebrews. Can we go to Hebrews? Come on. This should seal it. He says, if Jesus had given them rest, that's Joshua, right? If Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? You know, when I talk about Jesus being your Canaan, this is the scripture that settles and says that's correct, actually. It's not a land. Your prosperity is not in anything now. Your prosperity is in Jesus Christ. Your abundance is in Jesus Christ. Your healing is in Jesus Christ, not in a land given to you. Somebody say, I'm fighting for land. You're not serious. I'm fighting for Jesus. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Next verse. There remained therefore a rest to the people of God. Next verse. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Next verse. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the example of what? Unbelief. It's not a matter of sword and spear. It's a matter of unbelief. That's how we don't enter into our Canaan. And what is unbelief? It's you don't know the things that God has given to you. Once you know these things, your eyes are open, you enter into them. Simple. That's the battle now. That's my battle now. Come on. That's your battle now. In case you don't know your battle, somebody tell you by enemies. No, they are not, they don't count, they don't join. They really don't join. That's the truth. He has fought them, they don't have power. Even if four witches from your village gather together, and hold their hands together and light one big pot in from their middle, they can't do anything. You see, Pastor, don't see that pot needle. Jesus Christ died on the cross. Let's bring the cross of Jesus Christ to that place. Which one will stand? Am I inside church? Sorry, because this time you say no, don't answer that question. That's the problem. That's still our problem. Because you know that one very well. You've watched too much movies. You've not read book. Read this book. You find that there's nothing inside. There's nothing inside. Are you here? Most of the time we don't know. They know not, neither do they understand. And some churches actually rely rely on this fear. Some people are feed fear on purpose so that you can be held bondage, so that they can have some level of power over you. I say, like, if you say, come, I'll lay my hands on you, you will go. You don't need anything. You will stand there, you will say in the name of Jesus Christ. You will say, because Jesus Christ died on the cross and he rose up again from the dead for my sake. Devil, simple. You don't be attacking. Get out of this place. In the name, once you know, once you take your place. Get out. You know, when he said get out, just that's what I was doing. Just I said, remember our room? How that woman came out and was dressed. He said, get out, my husband. I mean, it's real, that real. The devil don't have power. It's only when people, believers, don't know. He tries in darkness, lack of knowledge. That's where he tries. So your pursuit is to know. Jesus Christ finished him on the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ was very powerful. How can we take the cross of Jesus Christ, and say, I just talk about pots now, three people joining their hands together, and look inside pot and calling them, and you are saying Jesus Christ, when he went to die, that those people can whip him. Reason with me now. Listen with me. Jesus, Almighty God, Father God, Jesus died on the cross, rose up again. Death couldn't hold him. It's just because we don't know. And when you don't know, you are afraid of those things. And people will come and say, doing this. You say, no, in the name of Jesus. You don't know. Come on. You don't know. And like, that's the way I react to it too. I'm just telling you. And before we begin to teach those things, I said, if I don't teach you these things, if you don't know these things, you'll be afraid. He said he will do me. He said, see. Why is he the one that said see and I'm afraid? Why if I say see? Why is he not afraid? Because our God is not powerful. He said, no, I'm not saying that. What are you saying? Okay, what are you saying? Come on. What are you saying now? I say you see. And he's not afraid. And you say, he said, I will see, I will not be afraid. Why would I be afraid? We are the ones that carry. See, I say, no. He said, you can't do anything. A causeless cause shall not arise. What's happening? I say, shall not arise. You don't see your time. You just fear. But you have nothing to fear, but fear itself. Are you here? That's another message entirely. But when I'm looking at you, your reaction doesn't like, hey, this devil. No. I mean, he whipped him. You need to know that fact. He whipped him. Don't be afraid. You shouldn't be afraid. The greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Don't be afraid. Just need to see it. Just need to know it. And then you say, wait, you know what you say? You say, Pastor, I know the verse. Somebody have written a book about it. A whole book. Come on, I said a whole book. Come on. When you now get that book, you know what will happen? He will now begin to unpack that verse. When he finishes unpacking that verse, you will know. So sometimes you need to delve into this knowledge. You're not just knowing the verses here, Pastor. Because a lot of people are just doing Christian and they're just in that shallow waters. But I love what we did again just now when he says, who want all men to be saved, and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Come to the knowledge of the truth. If you don't know, the devil will just hold you bound, captive. And then we are pursuing a lot of things today, so we also be pursuing Jesus. Jesus is our lamb playing with milk and honey. I want to go. But did you get something today?
Yes.
Are you sure? No. Don't patronize me. You got something today? Jesus is my Canaan and my covenant and my pursuit and my fight. I have a fight. And my fight is to know him. Anything that will hinder me from knowing him, I will stop it. I'll say, no, I say, you can't take my break. I mean, I'll say to someone, I say, I don't play with God, the church, everything. That is my life. Say, this work is your life. This work is not my life. That is my life. If I can get the things right in that place, I can get it right here. So I need to know this. You can't stop me from knowing this. You can't say, you are coming, so I should wait. I can't wait for you. Come tomorrow. This is my, but I say, no, this one is, no, this is more important. If I can get this one right, I can get it right there. Jesus is my Canaan. Anything that will stop me from knowing him, I don't even want to talk about it. Because the more I know of him, and the devil will try to stop us from knowing Jesus. He'll try to stop you. Do everything to stop you from knowing Jesus. You even sleep. Pour water. Be soaked inside water. Sit inside pool of water. Pour hot water inside pool. Put your leg inside. I mean, I said you are fighting battle. That's a real battle. Somebody say, where the battle is in the night? No, this battle is as you are going every day. To know Jesus or to just be walking in ignorance. Ignorance. It's bad, though. Come on. Are you here? No, go to Janet chapter 9. Just look at this. No, this is what we have sometimes today. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. You are reading the book of Jeremiah. And he says, I don't forget the other thing. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, how did he understand? By books. 2:5, I know. 1:5, 2:5. What 2:5 will buy for you in that book? What some space? Somebody said, I don't have space in my phone. What that those messages in your phone will do for you? It's going to be more than 2:5. Take them and listen to them again and again and get in line. He said, I understood by books. Get books. You are reading the books of the Bible. You are reading books. I mean, and you're doing that. And somebody thinks you are just wasting your money. It's not waste of money when I buy books. So the truth and light I get from those books, they change. That's what changes my life. That's the truth. We are walking in different level of lights. Different level of light. Understood by books. And I just want to say this. In all our professions, all of us, and this is our goal. I really want to go. In all our professions, all of us, we will go forward by doing something, especially professions that render services, or even professions that buy and sell. I'm going somewhere. I want to say something. This is my last thought. Even professions that buy and sell, if you know where they buy the things, you go and buy it. You know it's actually cheaper. It's not just a matter of transportation fare. It's actually a matter of not knowing where they buy it. Are you here? Somebody can come with a problem and say it's a problem. You know, if when I call Alex and sometimes I say, this was having a problem, and he just comes, he just does one or two things and then I'm done. I'm free. He just free. It's because of his what he knows. You see now. But when we are kept in the dark, we suffer a lot of things. So the person whose profession, come on, it is not bothered. Why is he not bothered? Because he knows. I'm going to say this, just like in medicine. People come around to me, they come to the clinic, and they come to the clinic. Sir, my son, he started yesterday. I'm going to say, he said, please. I know, this child is just 1 year plus, 2 years, whatever. And I said, okay, take this. See, thank you very much, sir. Thank you very much. I'm like, nothing will happen. Somebody say, because sir, I don't want to get blind. You're not even near getting blind. That is, the way you eat is from the way, that's how far you are from getting blind. But alas, it's my own cause. And I know, so I don't panic. When you don't know, there's panic. Do you understand that? I think that will help. I'm trying to help you. I want to help you. That is a matter of knowing. So that's really. So it doesn't matter. The thing that separates the doctor from you is knowledge. Knowledge. Just finish. And so you are paying him. Money is changing hands because of knowledge. Not because he's a doctor. It's just because of his knowledge. So if somebody is paying you to bake a cake, because he can't bake a cake. He doesn't, even if he can, he doesn't have the time. So somehow it's something that you have that it doesn't have. And so if you have the know of something, and then come on, you can go ahead and get it. Are you here?
Yes,
true knowledge shall it just be delivered. And today I pray for you. In the name of Jesus, I pray that a fresh hunger, a fresh passion to know Jesus will be better in your heart right now. In the name of Jesus, that today from this message right now, you say, I want to know you, Jesus. Lord, today, my enough of deception, right now, I want to know you. A fresh hunger, a fresh passion to know Jesus is better in your heart now in the name of Jesus. And you begin to hunger to know him. And as you begin to know him, you begin to believe more in him in the name of Jesus. These things I have spoken unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you will know who he is and that you will believe in the name of the Son of God. You will go deeper in your walk with God. You will experience prosperity. You will experience abundance. You will walk in all the things. You will enjoy all the things that have been freely given to you by God. In the name of Jesus. Today I put an end to ignorance. Today I put an end to shame. In the name of Jesus. I put an end to darkness in your life. The light is on now. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. A fresh hunger to know you is better in our hearts now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Right now, today, I speak healing for your body. If you are in this place right now, and there's a place you need the healing of God, the healing power of God on your in your body right now, I cause that healing to manifest in your bodies in the name of Jesus. You are the healed of God. In the name of Jesus. Every evil thing spoken against you everywhere, somewhere, anyhow, today I put an end to it. In the name of Jesus, I put an end to oppression. I bring you into abundance. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yes. Yes, yes. There are still some cases I see in the spirit. Yes, 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 yes. Today is the day of freedom. Today is the fear of freedom. Say, Pastor, I've been suffering this condition for a long time. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I break the hold of Satan over your life. In the name of Jesus. Somebody says, Pastor, this is in my family. In the name of Jesus, I break that hold now. In the name that is above every other name. At the name of Jesus, at the mention of that name, every knee bows. So this thing that he says is recording your family, today it bows. In the name of Jesus. And I declare that you are free. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I release provision for you. I release provision for you. In the name of Jesus. Walk in the light. Walk in the light in the name of Jesus, and I pray that you receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God, that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened from this day going forward in the name of Jesus, that you will know the things that have been freely given to you by God in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. 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 I hear somebody afraid of death. You see, death is far from you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. There's a fear of death. Somehow it has that hold over you. Death is far from you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is your time. This is your season. This is the acceptable time of salvation. So this is your time. Enter into all that God has in store for you in the mighty name of Jesus. Do not be afraid. Not be afraid. Death has no hold over you anymore. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Walk in the light. Walk in the light. Walk in the light. In the name of Jesus. The Lord that commanded light to shine out of darkness, He commands light to shine in your heart right now. In the name of Jesus. In that situation right now, I command light to shine. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Come on, come on. Give God praise in the house.
Hallelujah. Come on, shout glory. Say thank you, Lord. Glory to God.